90.3.
This is New Year's FM.
Now back in the studio live, and hello, Elaine.
Hiya, Mark. How are you?
How's it going? How are you this morning?
I'm good, and yourself?
Oh, great, great. Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
You're representing Tourette's Alliance.
Yeah, I am. Tourette's Alliance is a fantastic organisation. Myself and my kids have Tourette's. I don't know if you know anything about Tourette's.
No, nothing at all, no. And I've actually never met anyone who had Tourette's, even in public or anywhere else, which I'm surprised. Is there many people have it?
Yeah, there's actually a huge amount of people that have it. But a lot of people go undiagnosed. I haven't been officially diagnosed yet. My daughter was only diagnosed 2 years ago. Because hers, along with a lot of girls, she was masking it, which is something that girls tend to do an awful lot. So she was covering it up, and she didn't know what it was. So she had her own techniques that she had taught herself. Whereas my son, his, like a lot of boys, his were very out there and obvious, and you could see them a mile away. So I noticed his first when he was 4, and he's 18 now.
Yeah, and can you give us what kind of numbers in Ireland in Ireland have it? Approximately.
I think the figure is something like 1 in 100.
Okay.
People.
Okay, 1 in 100. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, which is quite significant, really. When you think about how many that would add up to.
But it's a surprise. Is it hereditary? Because now that you've mentioned that you have it and your son and your daughter has it, is it hereditary?
Yeah, it's inherited. Yeah,
it is.
So once I learned that it's genetic and it can be passed along, it was only then that I saw it in my daughter, that I noticed it in myself, and that I could spot in other members of my family, my siblings.
Is it a gene?
But even at that, some of my different members of my family who don't actually have Tourette have some of the associated disorders.
Which are? What would they be?
So ADHD, OCD, sleep disorders, sensory disorders. Because a lot of people think that the tics are all that there is to do with Tourette's.
Well,
which isn't true either.
Being honest with you, that's what I thought. I knew nothing else. I didn't realise it was such a broad spectrum of things.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah.
Is it?
It's huge. Yeah, so there's so much related to it, and people think it's only the tics, and that's the only thing that affects people with Tourette's, but that's not true at all. For myself, I've ticked all my life, didn't even know I was doing it, taught myself my own techniques, but what I struggled with most was my ADHD, my OCD, and my sensory that came along with the Tourette's. Because it goes hand in hand.
Does it go hand in hand all the time?
Not all the time, but about, I think it's 30% of people with OCD, or 30% of people with Tourette have OCD, or 60%. Of people with Tourette's have ADHD.
Right.
Yeah, there's just huge figures there.
Is there treatment? Is there a treatment for it? Is there any sort of treatment?
There's therapies to help. There's no cure for Tourette's at all. People can suppress the tics for short periods of time. But that just results in an explosion of ticks then afterwards.
I see. So it doesn't actually help.
So the ticks don't just magically disappear.
Putting a lid on something with a lot of pressure, and eventually it bursts out. Is that what it's like?
Yeah, exactly. So there's therapies to help you cope with learning techniques to manage the ticks. So, you know, like if you were doing a tick that was socially unacceptable, to try and learn another tick that you could do instead of that one.
Substitute it for something else, milder or something. Because
Tourette's is very suggestible. The ticks are very suggestible. So,
yes,
you know, I could be around somebody else that has Tourette's and is ticking, and I don't catch their tick.
Right.
But watching them do their tick, I could result in ending up having that tick.
Right. How does it work with this is complete. I'm asking questions from complete ignorance. As you get older and older, how does it fade in any description or you know?
No, well, the ticks can lessen in severity when you hit puberty. So like when my son hit 12 years old, that was our worst year. He peaked on his ticks. They were so severe. I couldn't send him to school. He had a screaming tick. He had a punching himself in the groin tick. So extremely severe. But puberty can bring the ticks on, you know, 100% worse. So as you get older, they can lessen, or like myself, like you mask it, or you've learned your own techniques to manage them. So even though you might not see it, say as my son has gotten older, even though people might not see it, it's still there. He's just learned his ways of managing it.
Right. So really, the longer you have it, the more you cope and the more you suppress. Is that the way it is?
Yeah. But then in saying that, the ticks can wax and wane, so they can change frequency, so they can become more severe. The ticks themselves can actually change. So, yeah, it's a whole load of unknown, really, when it comes to them. Because, yeah, I mean, you might feel that they've lessened, and you know, you might feel great, and next of all, you just hit, bam, like you have a new tick that's severe.
Right. And treatment, what kind of treatments are most people taking for it now? Are they going to hospitals? Are they going to therapists? Or what are they doing?
Yeah, it will be a case of going to your GP and getting a referral.
Right.
CAMHS is the most, but the HSE run CAMHS, which is the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service.
Right, okay.
Now, in that though, it would be the associated disorders that they would more look at than the tics themselves. To deal with tics, it would be a different therapist. So they'd be looking at their maybe habit reversal techniques, which is, like I said, you know, trying to do a different tic. To be cognitive behavioral therapy, to be comprehensive behavioral intervention, which is known as CBIT, and I think that's the one that people most do and find that is most helpful. For myself and my kids, I didn't realize until 2 years ago my daughter didn't get help because she had masked hers, so we didn't know for her either. My son was the only one that had actually managed to go for treatment, but it's not a very understood disorder, so you know, he didn't actually get the help that he needed. It's basically trying out what works for you.
Right. Okay.
A lot of people would mistake ticks, like I did when my son was little, as little habits, or it's just him, it's just little things that he does. So,
yeah.
You know, sniffing or coughing, the sort of thing was where he started. Then he would do a squinting blink, and it was like, ah, just the little bad habit that he has. Like, you know, a lot of people will brush it off as that.
Yeah, yeah, because some people have little habits that,
and
they don't have Tourette's or anything like it, but they do have a little habit.
Yeah, exactly.
We all have a little habits. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've a habit of repeating myself, and that's, everybody has a habit, you know.
And I mean, I would hate for people to be, you know, pulling their kids down to the doctor because they have a little bad habit either, you know. But you know, it is something to be more aware of, because a lot of people, you know, they might have a misdiagnosis of like PANDAS, and PANDAS is an onset of all of these issues, but it's like an explosion. It's all at once. Everything comes out all at once, and it's normally after an infection. So a lot of people mistake it for that, or they've been misdiagnosed with that, because they haven't taken into account these little habits that their child has had all this time. And when you speak to them and talk about the little habits and stuff, then they realise, actually, my child's been ticking for years.
Yeah.
Unnoticed. And I just didn't notice. Unnoticed, and it's only now that the ticks have increased that they think, oh my God, PANDAS, they had a throat infection there, and, you know. So, yeah, it is something to be aware of, but obviously not
just a
scared
quick,
of.
Yeah, and another out of the blue question. When you have it and it's severe, do you get any notice that you're going to have a bout of it, or does it just come upon you? Does it happen? You know, is there any...
Well, the feelings of actually ticking.
Yeah.
Well, I know when my son would feel a tick coming on.
Right.
He would get a feeling in his lower back.
Wow. A physical
feeling in his lower back. And so he would be able to tell from that that he has tick coming on. For me, it would be... I would just feel a tightness. So, like, even talking to you now about it, I'm doing it, like, so I would feel a tightness in my wrists. So I'd have to roll my wrists. And that's my tick.
Well, does stressful situations bring it on more, or is that just, you know?
Yeah. I mean, if you're stressed out, obviously, like, that's going to increase. Hugely, excitement can increase it. I mean, you could be ticking anyway, but the frequency could become more, or they could become more extreme if you're excited or anxious about something. So, I mean, like for when my son was little and I didn't know what it was, and me telling him to stop doing what he was doing with his tics would cause him stress.
Yeah, you're actually making it worse.
Yeah,
because of it, because of your ignorance of the actual situation at the time.
Yeah. And I mean, like, that's just normal human behavior.
Yeah, it's a learning.
It's
a learning process, isn't it? I mean, if you don't know the child has something wrong with them, you're not going to treat them in a different way, are you? It's natural,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's natural.
Yeah.
And is the treatment successful in case of the therapies? Are they successful? Do they help much? Because you just seem to be perfect yourself. You seem to be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, a lot. Okay, so talking on the phone, because I know that I was going to be talking to you is fine. But, like, I won't answer the telephone if I don't know the phone number.
Oh.
I get anxiety about that. And I've learned that it's my ADHD. You can actually have this sort of mental block of fear about little things like that. Answering the telephone, not knowing what somebody's going to ask me, is a huge fear. But I mean, like, I'm sitting here ticking right now. My leg is constantly bouncing. I'm rolling my wrists. I'm stretching my fingers. A lot of people do think that Tourette's is, well, it's known in the media as a swearing tick.
Well, that's what I'm just about to say. That is, like, as far as I'd say, majority of people would assume it's as you see on these documentaries or in these shows and that it's portrayed as a verbal thing. But I never realised there was more to it than that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's how the media has portrayed it, because it's more interesting to, you know, watch somebody out in public swearing rather than.
Do you think the media do an injustice? Don't help the situation? Or what do you think?
Look, I think any light that's shed on threats is brilliant. Awareness that can be brought for it is absolutely fantastic. But I do wish that they would show the other side of it. The swearing. There's only a very small percentage of people with Tourette's who swear.
Oh,
right. Yeah, and it's like there's so much other parts of. So you could have people repeating your sentences. I know that with my son, he doesn't actually have like as such a swearing tick, but he would have like executive dysfunction. So it means he does swear. But it's not an actual tick.
Right.
So, yeah, it can be quite confusing because there's so much in it. His swearing, he would, with the executive dysfunction, I mean, he would say inappropriate jokes to his grandmother.
Yeah, embarrassing and inappropriate things, that, yeah. He doesn't have the
mental breaks to stop himself.
Wow.
It just all comes out, so that will be another part of it as well. Myself and my son would suffer hugely with sleep disorders. And he would have also suffered a lot with rage outbursts. So if he got frustrated, and it could be the most minor thing, and he would just, it's like glaze over and become this other person, and he would smash up the house.
Is he growing out of that? Is that something he might grow out of? Or?
To a degree, he has. To try and help with that, I bought him a punch bag.
Right.
You know, so to try and direct it at the punch bag rather than
to control
punching holes in the walls.
Yeah.
So save the house a little bit.
Okay. Sorry for laughing, but you know it's
also. No, you're okay. You're okay. That's one thing that I have taught my kids is to laugh about
it. Right.
You need the humor. You need to focus on the funny side of stuff. You need to. Because otherwise, you'll just
God, you'd be depressed if you didn't see a funny side of anything, wouldn't you?
Yeah. To learn to tease yourself and laugh at yourself. And then, you know, my kids have had issues of people staring or, you know, they've had those issues of people mimicking them in public and stuff like that. And that's quite difficult to deal with. So, you know what, laugh it off.
Yeah, and if you're laughing at yourself, I think it stops people laughing at you. I think, in a way,
it helps. And even in supermarkets or anything, I would have always taught them, you know, it's if you do a tick and somebody turns and looks, well, just say sorry, I have Tourette's.
Okay.
And that straight away is a conversation starter, you know, and look at it as that. You know, you're not apologizing for having Tourette's.
No, you're explaining.
You're sharing information with them.
Yeah, so. Exactly. You're explaining, so their attitudes will change. They won't think, oh my God, look at him, he's rude. They'll just say, okay, fine. They can deal. People can deal with things when they know what's going on.
See
bad behaviour.
It completely eliminates the stares of looking weirdo.
Yeah.
You know?
Because you see bad behaviour of children in supermarkets and all, and you don't know whether they're well or not well. You could be criticising some mother, and the child could be very sick.
You look at a stressed-out mother and the kid is on the floor trying an almighty tantrum. I mean, that might not be a tantrum for anything in particular. That might be a rage outburst.
Exactly. It's an illness.
So you're
saying, well, she's a bad mother. She's not controlling her
child. It's only human nature to kind of look at that sort of situation.
Of course.
You know, everybody would do it. I would even do it. But I think for me, I would... be quicker to jump to, is the mother okay? Does she need, like, me to go over and help her? Or, you know, is there something wrong with the child?
Yeah, I think a lot of us should learn more, especially these days, like that. When there's an unusual behaviour, just stop and think that it may not be just bad behaviour. It may be something else. So just calm down for a minute and just don't assume. Exactly. Don't assume that the child is bold. You know, just think for a minute or two, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's just something you're grown up with. It's kind of ingrained in you. Like I said, I've had tics and so all these disorders growing up all my life, but never knew any of it. So I was a bold child. I was the child who, you know, did whatever I was told not to.
Exactly.
You're
labeled wrongly.
And but that's just totally ingrained in you then, that, like, you automatically look at kids and go, you know, that child's behaving badly, so they're bold.
Tell me, this is a charity, isn't it, the Tourette's Alliance?
It is, yeah.
Is it a 32-county charity? Because I had to ring the North. I was ringing someone up in Belfast.
It was set up in Belfast.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of the main hub of us. We are working on setting up one down here in the south, but as it stands, I mean, the Tourette's Alliance, even though it's based in Belfast and that far away, there's so much support down south here, because, I mean, I was lost, and then when there was very limited information, because, you know, you don't completely understand what you're looking at. I could see the ADHD in my son, I could see the Tourette's in my son, but I didn't know about all the other stuff that he was struggling with. So it's hard to kind of go online and look up all these random things when you don't actually know what you're trying to find.
Association is good, to have an association where everybody understands what's going on.
And you can learn from each other.
Yeah,
and it's such a support. Like, we arrange coffee mornings where we can meet up, the parents can meet up and kind of have a chat and kind of figure out, you know, if there's somebody struggling, we can go on to the Facebook Messenger and kind of vent it out and get suggestions.
Well, do you have a contact point for people? Do you have
It's Tourette'sAlliance.org.
So if you Google that, It'll bring you all the information and get you closer to the association.
Yeah, and when you go onto the webpage, if you make contact, I mean, we can...
There's contact numbers and everything else there.
Yeah, there's all the contact details there. So, I mean, we can bring it onto the Facebook page and stuff like that.
Okay,
as well,
so it's Tourette's.org.
It's Tourette'sAlliance.org.
Sorry.
There's no S at the end.
Sorry,
Tourette'sAlliance.org.
Sorry.
Yeah. You're okay.
I'm not great at the spelling either.
<You're okay. laughs>
Tell you what. My God. But look, thanks for coming on.
No problem at all.
You know, it's great to talk to you. And my God, you sound great anyway. And you sound sound like you're handling it very well. And fair play to you, you know.
Thanks very much.
Well, you sound happy. I'm sure the kids are happy. You sound like you're a happy family. You know what I mean? You just sound that way to me. You give me that impression. Anyway, thanks very much for coming on, and maybe we'll talk again next year and see how things are going.
Yeah, no problem at all. Anytime, Mark.
Thanks, Elaine. So that's Elaine Smith from Tourette's Alliance. Thanks very much for coming on, Elaine.